Good morning. We're going to be reading Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22 from the NRSV version. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your mother and father." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. This is the word of the Lord.
Hello, everyone. Good to see you all. The church was confused. Last Sunday was Low Sunday after Easter. It was supposed to be Low Sunday, not today. You don't understand that. The Sunday after Easter is a Sunday when the churches, all churches are almost empty. Last Sunday, we had a lot of people here, and that was supposed to be Low Sunday, but look at us today. Anyhow, here we are. I'm talking about the spirituality of abundance today. Spirituality of abundance. Does it look good? Yeah, I love it. This is not for you to answer because we don't want to pry into your life, but think about this. Have you ever been very poor? Have you been raised very poor? Very, very poor. Very poor. Yes, okay. Some people are raising their hands. I did too. Horacio and I are reading. Whenever we travel, we read books on audiobooks. We hear audiobooks in the car, and now we are listening to Viola Davis's memoirs. Have you done that? She's amazing. I recommend that book. And she grew up really, really poor in Central Falls, Providence. And I'm very familiar with that area. I know what it is. And those are the so-called urban poor people. You have to listen to her. I will not try to explain what she went through. But that's been really, really poor. Sometimes we feel poor because we cannot afford buying whatever we want. That's not poor. Poor is really not having the living conditions in which a human being should live. That's been really poor, really. So I want to start with the statement that we are in this room, we're all rich. We're all rich. You may not feel rich. Well, compared with the 1%, the proverbial 1%, we are not, so everything is relative. Einstein keeps on bearing in here. Everything is relative, but comparing to that objective poverty, we're all rich here. We all have clothes on our bodies. We all had breakfast this morning. We all, and if you didn't, it's because you're dieting or something, but you should, because breakfast is very important. Anyways, so why a spirituality of abundance? And I have some reasons for this. One is that God owns everything. Yeah, the God you worship, the God you met personally, the God you speak to whenever you pray, that God, the God who knows you that well, the God who created all things, the God who created the universe, and the universe put you to be a very special and unique person, owns everything. So your daddy owns everything. And when your daddy owns everything, you're pretty rich. You have access to everything. God owns everything there is. And when we say everything, we need to make sure we understand what we're talking about. We're not only talking about money or material things like a house and a car and all those wonderful material things that we love and embrace and use every day, but also the trees and the birds and the rivers and you're there with me? God owns everything. Even the things we have ruined and spoiled, God owns everything. Well, the good news about this is that God gives abundantly. Not only God owns everything, but God doesn't keep everything for God's self. God gives it to us. Gave it to us. Gave us a planet with everything. Look at the beauty. Yesterday, Horacio and I drove, don't ask about the drive, but we drove to Mount Vernon to see the tulips. We went to the Tulip Festival, Tulip Town. We chose that one. We learned there are several you can choose. Went to Tulip Town and, had a fabulous experience and even more fabulous pictures. God owns those tulips and God gave them to us. Not to anybody else, but to us. And whenever we go to the beach or we hike in the mountains or whatever we do in this gorgeous planet of ours, if we have the blessing of traveling around and getting to know places, we know that we have an amazing God who created all there is, owns all there is, and gave it to us. Wow. That is impressive. If you ask me, that is impressive. God gives abundantly. God gives abundantly what we need. Proof of that is that we are here. Whatever we went through before, we survived it. Whatever needs we had before, he supplied for. We are here. And if we are here, it's because he sustained us with God's hands. We were sustained. We were embraced. We were supplied every need we had. Yes, you may remember a time when you were evicted from your apartment because you couldn't afford the rent. I remember that. But I'm here. I survived that. God somehow provided a place to live. By the grace of God, even though we are immigrants in this country, we have never been on the streets. That's much more to say than the neighbors we have who live on the streets. And even for those neighbors, God provides to some degree. They eat. They survive. And they're much better at surviving than us because they develop survival skills that we may not have. God gives abundantly. Do you believe this? Do you believe this so far? Because sometimes I preach and I wonder if you really agree with me or not. Yeah, you know, that tradition of uncontested sermons. Okay. Now, here's a third thing I'm going to say to you. Resources are to flow. Resources are to flow. The purpose of resources is that they flow. Yeah, they flow. We can call them resources or currencies. Currency you usually use for money, right? You call money currency. But I want to tell you that there are other currencies. The word currency comes from the Latin currere. And currere means running or flowing. And there are other currencies besides money, especially in church. We can talk about time and place. This property is our currency. The way we use it, we can make it flow or we can make it stagnant. In this church, we're pretty good at making it flow. because we have people from the community using the facilities, we have nonprofits using the facilities, people in the arts using the facilities. Our facilities are well known in pretty much the whole this whole area of Tacoma. And when people need a space for something to develop an activity, they ask us. To the degree that we are asked some weird things sometimes. I'm not going to get into that, but if you want to know, ask me after the service. The other other currencies we have in churches are relationships, for example. That's a currency, and that needs to flow. Because when we make the currency of relationships flow, then relationships come and go. You go to the community and develop relationships, and then when you have an event, those people come at your invitation because they know you and they have a relationship with you. In that sense, our congregation is pretty good in that we have relationships with other churches. Actually, we have among us a pastor of a sister church here today. Imagine that, a pastor in the town who has a Sunday off and comes to worship with us. Isn't that cool? That's pretty cool. Thank you for being here. So relationships flow. Other currencies can be truth. Truth. When you use the currency of truth well, you may organize a truth-telling event where you invite, for example, the unhoused neighbors to talk with people who live in their homes and have a conversation about how it's like to live on the street. That's a truth-telling. And then when people in the community need to have their truth told, they come to you because they know that you appreciate that and you make it flow. Like people from the detention center, the ICE detention center, not people from the detention center, people against the detention center may come here and say, let's have a conversation about this and what that is doing to our families and our community. And, you know, truth comes and goes, it flows. There are others. I'm not going to get into all of them now. Money certainly is a currency, and it needs to flow. Because God doesn't give us resources, so we leave them stagnant. Part of the problem we have in this country is that too many people stop the flowing of money. Too many people have accounts, whether in the Caribbean or in Switzerland or wherever they put their money, and they leave it there. And that money is not flowing. And because money is not flowing, is that we have abject poverty in the number one country in the first world. Isn't that a shame? That is a shame. In my book, that's a shame. Because you go to other countries that are poorer than this, and there's such a sense of community, such a sense of solidarity, that people never get that low. Because they have neighbors and they have family members and they have friends and they have organizations that help them. So they don't have to live like this. But in this country, in our society, our most advanced society, we let people go through the cracks because we are not allowing money to flow. I have the suspicion that the man in our scripture reading today was such a person. Person who didn't let money flow. Person who was very happy with all he had. And very sad when he was told that he should get rid of it. How would you feel if they told you you have to get rid of that vacation home you have, or that second or third car you have, or some of the things you have? I know I'd be sad if they told me that instead of making two international trips a year, I could make only one or none. That's my currency, traveling. I don't want money for anything else. I don't care about material things, but traveling, that's my weakness, you know? That's the only reason I want to have money for is traveling. What if I was told I cannot have so many Starbucks cups of coffee or so many trips to my favorite restaurants or, you know? So what? Well, he went away sad, grieving. But we need to understand this. God's blessings get recycled when we allow them to flow. When we allow our resources to flow, they get recycled. And that means that if I give my money to somebody else, I may be poor for a while on that department, but then another person will have a chance to have a better life. So that's what I'm talking about. Talking about a spirituality of abundance that doesn't look at what I will not have if I give it away, but that looks at what everybody will have if I share it. That's abundance. God will recycle our resources. And what we lose in money, we may gain in relationship. And what we gain in relationship may translate in improvement of our place. As it did here, by the way, when you did the capital campaign and people from the community invested more money in the church than the congregation did. Well, if we count the grants and all that. So, relationships count. And they flow and they increase other currencies. The invitation to give forces us to trust God's abundance. And this is what happened to the young man, the young rich man. He didn't trust God's abundance. Do you trust God's abundance? Do you trust God's abundance? I want to invite you today to trust God's abundance. The invitation to give sometimes is perceived as, manipulation, because many times manipulation is used to invite people to give. But the reality is that every other nonprofit organization lets you know what the needs are, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Nobody's forcing my hand to give just by sending me an email and saying, you know, we need more people to give. So do not feel this way, because this is your church. This is your family. And your family is telling you, we need a little push so we can make it. We need a little push. Forced to trust God's abundance. When you give a little, you will not have that portion of your currencies. But God will supply what you need. So, that way, we fulfill God's vision for our lives, which is a vision for being rich and being poor. Being rich and being poor. I don't think I enjoyed being poor when I was a kid. And many times I had to go to bed with a glass of milk in my tummy because there wasn't anything for anything else. No dinner, no nothing. But I look back and I give thanks for those experiences, because when I had those experiences, I learned so much. So I leave you today with these words from Apostle Paul to the Philippians. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Thanks be to God for Jesus Christ, who gives us strength to go through thick and thin. Let us be wise when we are in thick. And let us continue to praise God when we are in thin. Let us help one another, and let us help our church to reach their goals, its goals, because then we'll all be enriched. Blessings.